Psalm chapter 8. Message tonight is, who am I and why am I here? Who am I and why am I here? Psalm chapter 8, it's only 9 verses, says, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Sound familiar? It's a psalm. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the babes, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We probably recognize the name of H.G. Wells. He was born in the late 1800s, died in 1946. And he always believed in utopia. One time he said this. He said, our race will more than realize our boldest imaginations. And then World War I came along. And that kind of changed his perspective. And then World War II came along. And that made him look more. If you're looking for man to please you, if you're looking for society to get better, it's not going to happen. And so in the end, he starts writing more dark novels in this book he calls All Aboard for Ararat. Okay? Sound familiar? He reinvents the story of Noah. And basically the purpose of the book is that Noah couldn't find a crew to run the ship because no one was worthy. And so when we look at man and we look at things going on, it's easy to be pessimistic. We sit there and we say, why am I here? Why am I even here tonight? Why am I going to camp? Why am I doing these things? And it could be very distressing. And we can, but I got good news for you. The answers are in God's Word. We're going to look at three things tonight. Three things tonight about who am I and why am I here. But the real point is, and we've talked about this before, to know where we need to go, we must know where we are right now. You can't get any sense of direction unless you understand your condition right now. And so I want to look at three things very quickly tonight. And that's to kind of give us an idea of what we need to do. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we see, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, I'm hope that God doesn't look like me. That would be bad, okay? But that's really not what's meant here. As a being, we're like him. We're made like him. You know, God possesses intellect, emotion, and will. He gave man intellect and emotion and will. There's no other animal. There's no other being on this earth that has intellect, emotion, and will instead besides man. And why did God do this? He did this so that we could have an intimate relationship with him. He made the angels to be his servants, but he gave us a free will, and he said, I want to have a relationship. He wanted to walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. He wanted to fellowship with them. He wanted them to have a life of peace and blessing, living under the nurture of God. But we know what happened. And so in this psalm, we can see three things that give us some answers. To find out who you are and where and why you are here, we need to turn to the Creator. And we know God through His creation. In Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 and 6, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So no one has an excuse that say they don't know about God or they can't find out about God. You just look up. You just look up. Verses 4 to 6, it says, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. It said, verse 1 of our psalm, it said, O Lord, lo, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We look at Psalm, we look later on, it says, when I consider what you have done. You know, we sing the song, O Lord, my God. When I, an awesome water, consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When we look at what God has done, when we look at the Creator, we have to say, how great thou art. Amen. His greatness and His glory transcends the creation that He made. Transcends it. So we know God through His creation. We can't duplicate anything that He does. To even the smallest thing, we mess up. We know God through His personal communication. God made belief in Him so easy that a child can understand. You know, most reports and most studies have said that if someone's going to receive Christ, they're going to do it before they turn 16, some say 20. When you get older, your heart hardly, that rate goes down a lot. It's meant for a child to understand. In verse 2 it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, or laid the foundation for praise. Doesn't say kings. Doesn't say prophets. Okay? Doesn't say preachers. Okay? It doesn't say grown people. It doesn't say adults. It says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Hundreds of years later, after the psalm was written, on Palm Sunday, Christ makes His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. What man says is triumphant entry. And in Psalm 21, verse 15, it says this, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that it did, and the what? Children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. See, kids know the truth. Kids can see right through a falsehood. Okay? And they know the truth. And they were out there basically proclaiming God in the temple what the priests should have been doing. that here's the Messiah. And they didn't, and what it did? It upset the religious people. So this is what kids can do. And that's why we're supposed to be like a little child. In the very next verse, Christ tells them, he says, and he said unto them, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise? Basically based on what Psalm 2 says. Because that ordained strength means to lay the foundation for praise. A man by the name of Ken Pore, who is a motivational Christian speaker, had his eight-year-old granddaughter come to him, and he asked him this question. He asked her this question: what do you like about God? And her response was this: you know what I like about God? God never says oops.
Amen. Amen.
Folks, kids have a handle on God. And they need to be nurtured. Since we're supposed to raise our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and show them these things. So kids go to the parents and say, why don't we have a Bible in the house? Or when it's daddy's turn to pray, why doesn't he want to pray? See, kids can put some challenges on us. Kids challenged the religious leaders when Christ went into the temple, basically for the last time, and said that out of their mouths, praise was perfected and power was shown. And not out of the ones that should have been doing it in the first place. And so when we need to understand who am I, we need to understand who made me. We need to understand that the same God that created the heavens and the earth, the same God that made the tiny atom and the universe, made me. Made me. And then entrusted us, mankind, with things that he wanted us to do. So there's answers found in the Creator. We're made like him. We're given an intellect and emotion and a will just like God, so we can have a relationship with him. And here's the point. You won't be who you are or what you should be unless you go back to the way that God intended it to be from the beginning. So if your view of God is flawed, you're not really going to know who you are. You're not really going to know why you should be here. If our view of the creation is flawed, the same thing. Psalm chapter 8, verse 6, it says, thou madest him, talking about man, to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. God's original intention was that. That's why he made Adam and Eve to basically rule over the earth. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 and 8, it says, but in one certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Where's that come from? Psalm 8. Or the Son of Man that thou visit. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. Thou didst set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. See, man lost control. Man lost control in the Garden of Eden. And because of that, creation has suffered. And because we don't have our rightful place in creation, we don't know who we are. Because we now live in a fallen condition. It's really evidence of lost sovereignty. You know, mankind is struggling for control. Everybody is struggling for control of either money or resources or land or power. God had made all that stuff for him in the beginning. And we messed it up. We messed it up. What man tries to do to rule and reign over the earth has a negative consequence on creation. All you have to do is look outside. You know, we try to gain knowledge, we try to gain power, we build factories, and they what? Pollute. We make cars so we can get to work, and what do? They pollute. Okay? Now, I'm not going to have a pollution message. But the things, we're using up God's resources. That's a true statement. You know, everybody's arguing over water and things that God freely gave enough to support everybody. And we've messed it up because man wants to serve themselves in that. Folks, it's not about what you can get that defines who you are. It's about who you know. It's about, do you go back to the original intention that God made us? Who's our creator? Not mom and dad. God is. And we need to go back to that and go back to our rightful place in creation and do the right thing. Why is the world in the mess that it's in? It's not God's fault. It's man's fault. Because the Bible says, we use this in Sunday school this morning and back in the youth class, it says, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for what? All have sinned. See, when we don't know about God, we can't find out who we are. If we are in the wrong condition of being fallen, we can't find out who we are. If we don't know where our place is in God's plan, we don't know why I am here. And so all these things work together. There are going to be bumps in the road. And the issue is that sometimes we get discouraged and sometimes we say, why am I doing this? Or is it worth it? When's the time to do good? All the time. Is it always worth to do good? Absolutely. Absolutely. To think of our fallen condition and to think that how man's flawed view of God and his flawed view of creation has led to this, it leads to this verse. In Romans 8:22, it says this, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Who caused that? We did. Mankind caused that. And so, we don't know who we are because we're not doing what we should be doing. Lastly, the answers are found in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus. Right after the quote, right after that passage that basically quotes Psalm 8, we see this verse. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He used the same terms that was used in Psalms 8, verses 5 through 8. A little lower, gave him dominion, crowned with glory and honor. Those type of things was given to Christ. You know why? Because God's original intention was that we rule and reign with him. God's initial intention that we be good stewards of what he's given to us. And he sent Christ to restore that. So he made Christ just like us, without sin. He made Christ to go through the bumps in the road, just like we do, yet without sin. He made Christ to do the will of the Father, like we should, without fail. He made Christ all the things that we should be, so we can see the image of God in the flesh, and we can see what God wants us to look like. That's who we are. That's who we are. And then basically what we should be doing, what am I doing here? I'm supposed to do the will of the Father. See, the issue is, what was lost through Adam, Christ has come back to be to recover it all. And to set it all straight. You know, we've been studying the book of Revelation. When Christ returns, His second coming, what's He going to do? He's going to set up a kingdom. His kingdom. He's going to rule in righteousness, in judgment, and we're going to rule with Him. And He's going to set, He says, this is the way that it was intended from the start. Not what you think, not one of discouragement, not one of just kind of messing around with stuff. You're going to do it my way. Amen. And the Bible says if you don't do it your way, you're not going to get rain. People are still going to die. And God's judgment is going to be there. See, Christ started a new race, the redeemed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creation. New creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, Christ started a new humanity. The redeemed. The redeemed. Christ recovers the things that we've lost. Christ recovers our innocence. When Adam and Eve were created, they were naked, but they were not ashamed. When they did everything that they were supposed to, they knew they were doing the right thing because they saw God there until sin came in. And then they messed it up. And now all creation groans in pain because of that. Christ came to restore that innocence in our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to who? God. To restore that intimate relationship. Because God has intellect, emotions, and will. We have intellect, emotions, and will. And then, as Philippians chapter 2 says, we will have the mind of Christ. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ recovers our eternal life. For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men. For what? All have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commanded His love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. He died for us. Christ came and did all this to restore things back to the way God intended for it in the first place. To restore our innocence. Basically, that we, if we basically follow God, we don't have to care about anything else. To basically recover our eternal life. He took the sting out of death. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. These are familiar verses. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But what? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We should not be failures. We should not be defeated. I can tell you why you're not. I tell you one thing that you're not supposed to be as a Christian. You're not supposed to be defeated. You're not supposed to be overcome. You're not supposed, we're more than victors through Him. More than conquerors through Him. He's restored innocence. He's made us white as snow. He basically has recovered eternal life by giving it back as a gift. And then you want to know who you are? You're His creation. You know who you are? We're part of a fallen world because we fell. And you know who we are? Nothing without Christ. You know what you can do? I can do all things in Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know what we can do and what Christ allows us to do? Is this. John 14 verse 12 says this. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And what? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." See, Christ restored our innocence. He restored eternal life. He restored a purpose for us. What was Christ's purpose? To do everything that the Father in heaven commanded. To walk in the will of God. What was Adam's and Eve's purpose in the garden? To keep the garden and to till it in accordance with what God said. And he said, look, he says, there's only one thing to do. Don't go of the knowledge of good and evil. See, they were innocent. They didn't know right from wrong because all they knew was right. All they were doing was right. That's what Christ wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do, is all right. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained." What? Before ordained. The same word used in Psalm 8. Lay a foundation. That we should what? Walk in them. So my question is this. Are we walking in good works? That's what we're supposed to do. That's why we are here. Are we redeemed? That's who we are. That's why God created us the way it is. So, who am I? I'm either redeemed or I'm not. Only you know that. Who am I? I'm either walking in God's will or I'm not. What am I supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be glorifying God unto and doing good works, or I am not. Which side are you on? When Adam and Eve sinned, there was a vacuum created in mankind. That sin separated fellowship from God. God never intended for that to happen. He created man to have an intimate relationship with him. And man messed it up. Okay? God wants to have an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. Are we messing it up? When we're created, there's a void now in our lives, in our heart, that God sent his Son Jesus Christ to fill. And if you don't have Christ, you're not who God wants you to be. If you don't have Christ, you can't be why you're here. You can't serve the purpose that God has really created you for. Either one of those is being out of God's will. Let God fill the empty pieces in your life. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask, as you help us, Lord, to find who we are, not in ourselves, Lord, but in you. Father, help us to find why I am here, not in ourselves, but in you. Father, help us to understand that it's all about you and not about us. Help us, Lord, to put away things that break relationship with you and causes broken relationships with others in our families, in our churches, with our friends. Help us, Lord, to be restored to innocence. Help us, Lord, to cling to eternal life that only you can give. Help us, Lord, to be conformed to your image and do the works that you've made us to, that you've created us to do by redeeming us. Father, as someone that does not know you as Savior, Father, they can't even know who, why they're here or who they are. I pray that tonight that they find the missing piece in their life through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the redemption that he gave us at Calvary. Help us, Lord. We're a needy people. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.